We're going to be looking at Psalm 2 tonight, the second psalm. I always want to say Psalm chapter 2. That's not correct. It's Psalm 2, numero dos. We're on page 472. You may well have heard by now, as I heard also, there was a church shooting this morning in Texas. First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs, Texas. That would be just outside of San Antonio. Just outside of San Antonio, a small town. I'd never heard of it. I've never been there. It's a very small rural area. And yet at that church, there were, last I heard, somewhere between 20 and 25 who died. And then many more injured, and the number kept changing. And so I'm not sure yet what that final total will look like. But well over 20 people were killed this morning as they gathered to worship at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Spring. And so I just want to share this word for you tonight. We already know the conclusion of this story. And so I want to read to you from Revelation chapter 6 about those who are killed because of the word of God. Revelation chapter 6, John sees this vision of what is to come. He says, when he opened up the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered because of the word of God and the testimony they had given. And they cried out with a loud voice, Lord, the one who is holy and true, how long until you judge those who live on the earth and avenge our blood? So they were each given a white robe, and they were told to rest a little while longer until the number would be complete of their fellow servants and their brothers and sisters who were going to be killed as they had been killed. This is the word of the Lord here. We know that those who are slaughtered for the sake of the word and for the sake of their testimony are many and have been many, and that number is added to today. And they're crying out. They are with their Lord. They are in heaven, crying out, how long? How long until you set this right and avenge these things? Not crying out with anger against God, how long, but crying out, Lord, you are holy and true. But when will that time come? They cry out like we cry out, to say, come soon, Lord Jesus, and set all things right. And the response that they receive is just wait a little longer. There are more who will lose their lives for their testimony on behalf of the Word of God. And yet, there will be justice. And those who die for the Word of God, for this testimony, there's a white robe for them. That is salvation. Their sins are washed clean. They are forgiven. They have their inheritance in Christ. Someday soon there will be judgment, and we cry out with them, how long, O Lord? Christ, come soon, that there will be no more of this nonsense. There will be no more of this evil in the world, that saints should be slaughtered for their testimony. As a matter of fact, when you look around the world today, there are all sorts of rebellion against God. We come to Psalm 2 tonight. This will actually be the first passage that I have preached for you before and am now preaching a second time. So back in July of 2015, when I was in View of Call, I preached the Psalm 2 here. And here we are again as we go through the Psalms, and it is time again for us to examine this one, very importantly given the days. Just in the past few months we've seen, just in the past few weeks, the communist leader in China, Xi Jinping, has been consolidating more and more power to himself, allowing him to continue to run for terms without end, is his plan. And our psalm chapter, chapter 2, our second psalm here, declares very clearly from the beginning, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? We say this about these leaders who have no view of caring for the image of God in people. The basic humanity that is there. North Korea continues to test missiles. In Thailand, the former king who passed away a year ago, King Bhumibol, so they spent the entire year in preparation for his funeral pyre, since he, being the king, is counted as a god in Thailand. And so I gotta read this, 164-foot-tall funeral pyre, and the funeral that cost somewhere between $30 and $90 million happened this month, in order to make sure that this king could ascend into heaven in his rightful place. Saudi Arabia, even the last 2 days, 11 princes were detained, one of the wealthiest men in the world, one of them, three heads of TV and many more, in an attempt to consolidate power. All these people are being detained and arrested. There's continued rebellion in Syria with ISIS. In Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro continues to kill his own people in the streets even as they starve. As there was this plan for a communist utopia there, and that was great and all until the money ran out. The money always runs out. Now people are being killed in the streets. In Spain, there was a vote that was legal or not legal in Catalonia for its independence. That was suppressed. That prime minister turned himself over today to the Spanish government. Russia continues to involve itself in other nations in espionage, especially this one. We now have, in this past week, indictments against American politicians for conspiring with other nations like Russia against the will of the American people. We have white supremacy rallies happening out loud in America right now, and this is a great evil. To all of these things, the word of the Lord is, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? Let's read Psalm 2 together. In light of what's happened in Texas today, in light of what is happening around the world today and has been happening around the world since the beginning, as the nations have always raged against God. And let us, with joy, look at our Lord's response. Father God, I pray that the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you tonight. Father God, come soon and set all that is wrong right. Until that day, we believe and we know that our King is already established on his throne. This I pray in your name. Amen. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth, they take their stand. The rulers conspire together against the Lord and his anointed one. Let's tear off their chains. Let's throw off their ropes. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord ridicules them. Then he speaks to them in his anger, and he terrifies them in his wrath. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will declare the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with an iron scepter. You will shatter them like pottery. So now, kings, be wise, receive instruction, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverential awe and rejoice with trembling. Pay homage to the Son, or he will be angry, and you will perish in your rebellion, for his anger may ignite at any moment. All who take refuge in him are happy. I want to draw your attention first to verse 6. Verse 5, he says, he speaks to them in his anger and he terrifies them in his wrath. And what is terrifying to these rulers of the nations? That God has already installed his king. His chosen ruler is already there. Does not remind you of King Herod, who's terrified that his authority is going to be undermined by this child who was born? And so he seeks to kill that child, and so he puts out an order to kill all children in order to try and secure his kingdom against this ruler who is to come. Well, the good news for those of us who believe today is this, and yet this news is terrifying to those who wish to rebel. And the news is this, our King Jesus is already installed as king over his people. The passage goes on here, verse 8. He says, I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. This is also a done deal. Where will Christ's kingdom extend to? The ends of the earth. All nations are his. They all belong to him, and they will be his. Right now, his kingdom is all of those who would willingly say Jesus is Lord and come and ask for peace. But a day is coming when he will establish himself over all nations all by himself. Amen. On that day, there will be no longer any opposition. And yet, it seems from this psalm, God is gracious even to those who would be an enemy to him. First, this might be dismaying to us. Why would he allow this to go on? Why would God be gracious to those who would set themselves against God? You know, verses 10 through 12 are a call for all of these nations, these rulers, to be able to have a moment to turn and repent. Why would God be gracious to these enemies of his? See, God was gracious to us when we were his enemies, when we set ourselves against God in our sin, when we opposed his kingdom and lived for ourselves. We were just like these rulers of these nations. And God was gracious to us. And so here you see the grace of God extending out to the entire world. Verse 10, "So now, kings, be wise." This is a call to them to do the right thing. That is, God desires salvation. In no uncertain terms, all those who oppose him will be crushed. I mean, judgment is coming. Verse 9, "You will break them with an iron scepter. You will shatter them like pottery." But God's desire is for salvation. Judgment comes, but until then, be wise. Receive instruction, you judges of the earth. What must you do? Serve the Lord with reverential awe. Rejoice, but with joy, rejoice with trembling. Pay homage to the Son, or he will be angry and you will perish in your rebellion. This phrase in verse 11 strikes me. Rejoice with trembling. This is what we do. Even before that, serve the Lord with reverential awe. We rejoice. We have our joy in the Lord. This psalm ends the way the first one began. We're talking about happy. We're talking about blessed. That's the last word here. It was the first one in Psalm 1. These two that go together. This blessed are those who do not walk in the advice of the wicked. And then at the very end of verse 12 here of this one, all those who take refuge in him are blessed, are happy. It says, we rejoice. We have our joy, we have our happiness, but we have it with trembling because we know this God. We have reverential awe of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't treat him in a cavalier way. We don't talk about buddy Jesus. Talk about King Jesus our Lord. We rejoice that he has loved us so dearly as a child. And so we rejoice, but we rejoice with trembling. We rejoice with reverential awe over who this Lord of ours is. A few things I need to call you to do this evening from this psalm. The first is this: do not join the nations in their raging. There have always been nations setting themselves against the will of God, hurting those who he loves, and there will be till Christ returns. But you do not join the nations in raging, whether it is this one or another one. Rather, trust God for justice. We know, as we read in Revelation tonight, Christ is coming, and he will bring about righteous judgment. The answer for those saints who were killed because of their testimony, because of Jesus Christ, their testimony, their question is, how long until you set this right, until you avenge this? And the answer is, oh, it's coming. Just wait a little longer. That day is coming. And it's explicit here in this psalm. That day is coming when they will be crushed in their rebellion. This isn't spite. This isn't rage without purpose. These people who will perish, verse 12, perish in rebellion. It is very clearly deserved. The punishment that is coming was deserved for all of us, and yet we've trusted Christ. Do not join the nations in raging. Trust God for justice. But this too we should do. We pray for the nations. If it is God's desire for them to be saved, then it must be our desire for them to be saved. If God would send his message and his messenger out to say, kings, be wise, receive instruction, then likewise we must go out and say to those around us, be wise, receive instruction, Turn from your sin now and put your trust in Christ. We don't rejoice to see judgment over sinners. We rejoice, like our God, to see their salvation. So we pray for the nations in hopes that they will repent before it is too late and Christ comes. This we do as well. We take refuge in Christ. Our hope from beginning to end is in Jesus Christ alone. You know, perhaps for us, one of the terrifying things about this church shooting today in Sutherland Springs is that it was a very small town, smaller than Aiken, smaller than here. It doesn't matter if it's a city or a small town or anywhere. Evil people choose to do evil things, and there they are. We take refuge in Christ. That is where our hope is. We know that He is in control, He will provide, and He will protect. We know likewise from Revelation here that there will be more who are killed because of their faith. And yet, for all who put their trust in Christ, there is this white robe. That is forgiveness. Though we were crimson with our sins, yet we have been washed white as snow. Take refuge in Christ. Finally, remember this. Say tonight, do not join the nations in raging. Trust God for justice. Pray for the nations. Take refuge in Christ. But moreover, believe that all who take refuge in Him are happy, are blessed. All who take refuge in Him rejoice, are happy, are blessed. I believe this. I know this to be true. Since you do too, Christian, let us now, let's sing a praise song together to Christ our Lord and rejoice that He is trustworthy and rejoice that He is coming again. Father God, for those of our brothers and sisters who were killed today in Texas for their testimony, gathered together to worship You, Father, take notice. Father God, thank You that You would receive these souls to You and You would provide salvation. Father God, I thank You for our salvation. We are here tonight to take refuge in You, Christ. Father, come soon. Christ, come soon. Until that day, we will trust You and we will be here worshiping You. This I pray in Your name. Amen.